Good morning.
It's
good to see you. We're turning to 1 Kings 17 again. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll just remind ourselves of the man at whom we are looking and comparing with the Lord Jesus, the man Elijah. Verse 1 reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan." Amen. We left off last Thursday, right in the middle of a point that I was making regarding Elijah, and I'd like to return to that. The point that I was making was simply this, that Elijah, like the Lord Jesus, had a ministry of confrontation. The very first reference to him, he's confronting the old king right to his face. He's declaring most boldly the word of God. The land had departed from God terribly. I pointed out that to see evidence of that, you only had to go back into the previous chapter and read the last few verses of that chapter. And there you would see just how wicked the land had become. And so God's man is challenging the king, Ahab, who was the chief cause, the chief promoter of this wickedness. Now, there were many others involved in it, priests, religious leaders, and the people themselves. But the chief villain was Ahab, and so God has sent Elijah to confront him. And I said that this was ever the case with God's servants. There are many Christians who wish for a nice, quiet, peaceful, harmonious church. A minister who will be loved by everybody. Who never says anything other than that which is sweet and pleasant and nice. That's what they would love. But let me tell you this. We cannot have God's blessing on such a ministry. God will only bless that which is according to his will and according to his word. And if we're going to preach God's word, war is the result. And you only have to think for a moment or two and realize that it can be no other way. This world is a world of darkness. If you put light into it, there's conflict. Light and darkness can't live together. One must overcome the other. And I pointed out how, for instance, in Jeremiah chapter 1, and I turned to that chapter because, as I told you, it was the chapter drawn to my attention at my ordination service 49 years ago this month. For there, Dr. Paisley, all those years ago, pointed out to me the ministry given to Jeremiah. And it was a ministry of war. He was to confront. He was to be against. And God would strengthen him against all those who were against the Lord. Who were against the Lord. And I never forgot that exposition. I never forgot it. And as God helped me, I tried to live in accordance with it. Sin was great, of course, in the Savior's day. When he came into this world 2,000 years ago, or thereabouts, it was very similar to the circumstances that prevailed in the days of Ahab. Now, there wouldn't have been the outright idolatry. There wouldn't have been open worship of idols as there was in Ahab's day. But you can have idolatry without idols, if you can follow what I mean. Instead of having metal or wooden idols set up and worshipping them, the people had set up in their hearts false notions and false views and false doctrines, and they followed these falsehoods because they were led by men who didn't know the truth and didn't preach the truth and hated the truth. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, Those were religious leaders who were absolutely ignorant of the truth of God. And the Lord Jesus, when he came and began his ministry, he confronted them. There was battle and war right away. Now, I want just to be a little more specific today regarding the war that commenced with Elijah's ministry. We see right away that he confronted the king. He declared war on the king. It's most bold of him, you know, to come out of nowhere, because there's no mention of him before. So, when he marched into the presence of the king, I have no doubt that the king's reaction was not, "Oh, here's that famous prophet that we have heard so much about. I wonder what he's going to say to me." No, I believe he wasn't known at all. So that this rough mountain man, presenting himself in the presence of the king, would have generated a reaction more like, "Who's this rough ignoramus coming into my presence? And without a by your leave or excuse me, he pronounces the judgment of God against me. Who is he?" That is more, I think, in keeping with what happened. And Elijah's confronting the king. He's confronting the earthly authority in the land at that time. Confronting the earthly authority. Going right to the top. It's, as was said of the Lord Jesus, the axe was going to be laid at the root. Not trim a few little branches here and there and cut off a twig or two. No, God sent Elijah with an axe, the axe of his word, and he struck right at the very root of the sin and rebellion in the land. He struck at the leader, the king. Now the Lord Jesus, because remember we're seeking to show you that Elijah presents pictures of the Savior in his life, and so it was that we can see a parallel between the actions of Elijah here and the Lord Jesus himself. He confronted the earthly power of his day. Indeed, he said in Matthew chapter 10, you older ones, look it up, Matthew chapter 10 and the verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth." Oh, what a word that is to those Christians who are forever complaining about any ministry in which the minister faithfully preaches God's word and rouses the opposition of many critics and enemies of truth. There are so many Christians who don't want to have a minister like that. You know what that means? They would not have liked the Lord Jesus to be their minister. For he says in that verse in Matthew chapter 10, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Twice he says, "I'm not here to promote peace. I'm here to promote war. I have come with a sword." And let me tell you, every time a man of God stands up on the pulpit and faithfully preaches God's word, he has drawn a sword and he's hacking at the enemy. They're going to feel the edge of it. And there's no one who feels the edge of the sword that goes away laughing. Rather, they're wounded, they're hurt, they're annoyed, they're angry, and they resent such a thing. So the ministry of the Lord Jesus and the ministry of Elijah was one resented. And Elijah had confronted the king, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He confronted the king, because the king in his day was Herod. And you will find that the Lord Jesus had some words that weren't very peaceful for Herod when he was warned that Herod was against him and would like to kill him. The Savior said, "Go tell that fox." "You're calling the king a fox?" "Yes, because that's the nature that he has. Sly, deceitful, crafty and cunning, and cruel." And of course, that very properly described the king. It is not insulting boys and girls, it is not insulting to tell the plain truth about someone, no matter who they are. I remember quite a number of years ago when Princess Diane died in a car accident, and England in particular went crazy, with outpourings of grief and adulation. There were scenes, I think it can be said, unparalleled, because you had television, and it wasn't just a few people gathering in London, but the television advertised what was going on, and one person seeing it, they copied it, and so across the whole country there was this adulation of this woman. Now, it was a sad event in that this woman had been killed in a most horrific accident, but it was the view taken of her and the things that were said in admiration of her, indeed in many instances they're still said, that were so wrong. When I preached a sermon and pointed out the true character of this woman, because she was not a moral woman. Princess Diane, in appearance, was someone enchanting. She looked very beautiful. She looked very alluring. She looked winsome. And people were drawn to her because of her looks, but she was a wicked, evil woman morally. Her behavior was scandalous. And it was wrong to say of her the things that were being said by political leaders, by religious leaders, and someone had to say something. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one. I know I wasn't the only one, but I certainly felt that I had to just counter this wave of deceit and falsehood that was sweeping the country. And I preached a message, because you have to do that. And so Elijah and the Lord Jesus confronted the authorities of their day, the kings of their days, and put forward the truth regarding them. Put forward the truth. The kingdoms of this world will always resist the truth of God. Always. Because the whole structure, the whole ambitions, the whole desires, the whole setup, the whole thinking, the principles, everything about this world is the very opposite to God, His truth, His purpose, His plan. It's the very opposite. And consequently, whenever the gospel banner has been raised, there has always been opposition. And whenever God sends forth His servant has always been called upon to challenge the authorities of His day. We're celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this year, and we look back to men like Martin Luther, and all of those men were in conflict with earthly princes and kings. And earthly princes and kings did everything they could to kill those men, to kill off the work they were engaged in, and overcome the influence that they were exerting in their kingdom, because what they were saying undermined the kingdom in which they were exercising their ministry. Elijah not only confronted the king, but he confronted the religious leaders. We'll go down from the top, down the ladder step by step. Just below the king, there was the religious leaders. And in chapter 18 and the verse 19 we read, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." In chapter 18, God has sent Elijah to confront Ahab and challenge him and bring this whole matter to a head. And so he says to Ahab, "Gather these prophets, these religious leaders, and they and I will have a contest. We'll settle the matter of who is God." He did this on the top of a mountain, as we know. I had the privilege of being up there on that mountain. Though, I have to tell you, it's utterly desecrated by Roman Catholic imagery. There's a huge monument of Elijah confronting the false prophets. All around it are buildings and statues that are put up by the false prophets of today. Oh, how the devil loves to do that. As you grow older, I'm sure there will be times that you will look on the history of this world, and wherever God has wrought a victory, Wherever God has wrought a victory, the devil has come and tried to wipe out the memory of that victory and erect there that which depicts the devil's kingdom. Do you know today, if you go to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, do you know what you'll find? A Muslim graveyard. And you'll not be allowed to enter that area. You can stand in what we believe is the place where the Lord Jesus was buried, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. It's there. And you can look up, and it's not very high. It's not really very high. And you can look up, and there's the mound upon which the Lord Jesus was crucified, and all around it are the graves of Muslims. I remember Dr. Douglas and I talking about the matter. And we said, you know, how the devil loves to come and desecrate the places where God has wrought great victories. And then a thought occurred to Dr. Douglas, and I agreed with him. And he said it's but another evidence of how the devil oversteps himself. Because by turning that area into a Muslim graveyard, it was wonderfully preserved. It would have been far worse if Roman Catholicism had got control of that area. For all the unsightly, nauseating statues and groves and grottos that would have been erected there. But because the Muslims took it over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, such things have not taken place and won't be taking place. But it is an evidence of how every place the Lord has gained a victory, the devil loves to come to wipe it out and to obliterate it. And there on Mount Carmel, you have evidence of the devil coming and setting up his flag in that place where he received such a blow at the hands of Elijah. For Elijah took on the false prophets, and under God, the false prophets were exposed as indeed being false before the eyes of the people. And they were slain, put to death, in accordance with the law of God. It's a great breach of God's law to preach there's another God. And such thing is followed by the death penalty. And Elijah was only keeping the law when he put to death the false prophets. So God's man will confront the king. He'll confront the leaders of the people, the religious leaders. And he'll confront the people themselves. And in the chapter 18 again, Elijah says, gather all the prophets, but also gather the people. Gather the people. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Do you notice how plainly Elijah put the issue? He didn't open his mouth and pour forth a lot of theological, sociological phrases and terminology. He didn't give a great oration that would have pleased the ears of men, but he come right to the very heart of the matter. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. That's the issue. And God's servants are ever called upon to set before the people in plain language the issue. The issue. Oh, how the devil must delight in the waffle that so many preachers engage in today. So that after a few minutes you don't know whether you're coming or going, you don't know what direction they are heading in. But not so with Elijah. You knew what he was there about. And so it was with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He confronted the people. He challenged the people. You know how the crowds followed him. And they were forced to say, never man speak like this man. He speak with plainness. People noted, he's not like the other religious leaders. He's not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks with authority. Because he spoke with plainness. He spoke the word of God. So, like the Lord Jesus, Elijah had a ministry of confrontation. He took on the evil of his day, and he challenged it most plainly. That's the pattern that's needed today, boys and girls. That's the pattern that's needed today. No matter what subject the preacher takes up, He's got to confront the world through that subject. When he talks about behavior, he's got to say, the world's behavior's wrong. Don't follow it. When he takes up the subject of the world's entertainment and the fads that are followed today by the world, and which Christians can get caught up in, the preacher has to say, these are wrong. These are things we ought not to do. We're not to walk as the world walks, or talk as the world talks. We're to be different, confronting, challenging. Such was the ministry of Elijah, such was the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and such should be the ministry of God's servants today. Not overlooking, not turning a blind eye to things that are taking place, but nailing them and confronting them head on. Oh, boys and girls, when you're reading your Bible, look out for these things. Look out for the evidence of war that is ongoing between God and the darkness of this world. Well, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts today, and may you benefit from these few words. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we pray for your blessing upon your word. O God, give to thy servants, give to the church, the spirit that was granted to Elijah so long ago. May there not be a silent acceptance of the wickedness of this age, but rather, Lord, as the old hymn puts it, may we stand up for Jesus. May we be soldiers of the cross. Lord, give a warlike spirit to the young ones here, I pray, and teach them to serve the Lord in faithfulness. Speak to any who are not saved. Lord, may they ask themselves, on which side are they? Are they among the soldiers of Christ, or are they yet the enemies of God because they're not saved? They reject the word of Christ. Oh, apply your word with power to every heart, and bless the school this day for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen.